Let us hear God's word. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed some seeds, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. This Lord's Day afternoon, I want to start a series on the parables of Christ. The parables of Christ are some of the most loved and most familiar parts of the Holy Scripture. I'm sure you remember many parables. I'm going to remind you of several of them today as we consider the purpose for the parables. And then in weeks to come, or months to come, we'll begin to look at one parable at a time each week that I'm back. But this week we'll just consider several of them as we think about what the parables are in general. I'll answer three questions. The first one is, why are the parables of Christ so attractive? Secondly, we'll answer the question, what do the parables of Christ focus on? What's their focus? And then thirdly, I'll answer the question, what is the primary purpose of the parables of Christ? So first, why are the parables of Christ so attractive? I think there's two reasons. One is they're brief and they're simple. They deal with examples of daily life. Just think about the woman who puts the yeast or the leaven in the dough when she bakes. Do some of you women remember doing that? Some of you do it? Or how about the merchant who's a jewelry merchant and finds the pearl, the greatest pearl, the most expensive pearl he'd ever seen? Or have you ever received a wedding invitation? There's a parable about being invited to the wedding. Some of you may have actually been involved in construction, building homes and other things. And isn't it important where you build the foundation? You put it on rock, on bedrock, or you build it on sand. So the parables are brief and simple. They speak to common events that happen in our lives. But also, the parables are attractive because sometimes the parables have great surprises for us. For example, how about the parable of the rich fool? The man that had so much, he had a big builder, he's going to build bigger barns to store all his wealth. And what does God say to him that night? Tonight, I require your soul. Kind of surprising, isn't it? How about the publican and the Pharisee? They go up to the temple. Who thinks the publican's going to leave the temple justified and the Pharisee is going to leave the temple not justified, not forgiven? Or how about the prodigal son? Isn't it a little surprising how his father welcomes him back into his arms so warmly? So the parables are common, they're simple, and sometimes they offer great surprises. And I think that's why they are so attractive and why I think it'll be enjoyable for us to study the parables this year. But secondly, let me answer the question, what do the parables focus on? What's their focus? And I think there are at least three focal points. The first one is the parables of Christ focus on, this is a big word, God's sovereignty. In other words, they deal with the fact that God is in control, that He rules. You see, many of the parables deal with the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. But a kingdom always has a king. And therefore, a lot of the parables speak about kings, don't they? They refer to a father, to kings, to householders, to masters, all references to God who's in charge, who rules. That's one of the focuses of the parables. But another focus is the parables of Christ focus on our responsibility. They don't just focus on God being in control, His sovereignty. They also focus on our responsibility to God. Think about the parables of the stewards, of the tenants. How about the responsibility of the man to build on the right foundation? How about the parable of the 10 virgins? They were all responsible, right? 5 were wise, 5 weren't. But all 10 were responsible. Or how about the parable of the Great Supper? Everyone that received an invitation to the Great Supper, the marriage feast, was responsible to respond to that. So the parables focus on God's sovereignty, that God rules. They also focus on our responsibility. But thirdly, they focus on the grace of God in the good news of the gospel. They focus on God's rule, our responsibility, and God's grace. God's grace predominates the parables. Just 2 examples. How about the parable of the publican and the Pharisee? Do we not see God's grace in that? Being gracious to the publican who beats his chest and who asks for mercy. But we also see God's grace in the parable of the fig tree. You remember that parable? The fig tree's not growing. And the master, instead of destroying it, says, I'm going to feed it and going to give it some more time, demonstrating the patience of God against his enemies. God's still patient with them. He doesn't destroy his enemies immediately. But he's patient and long-suffering with those who raise a fist against him. You see, many of the parables are celebratory. There's a party thrown in them. Think of the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son in Luke 15. 3 parables. And everyone, when the woman finds her coin, they celebrate. When the man brings back that one sheep that's gone away, there's a celebration. And when the man has his son return, they celebrate. A picture of the gospel of God's grace. A celebration of mercy. And think about how many parables picture a banquet or a supper. A celebration. A demonstration of God's mercy and grace to needy sinners. So the parables teach us about God's sovereignty, God's rule, our responsibility, as well as God's graciousness to lost sinners. So we've looked at why the parables of Christ are attractive. We've also looked at the purpose or what the parables focus on. But now let's focus on the primary purpose of the parables. What's the primary purpose of the parables? There's really not one primary, there's two primary purposes. Jesus has just told us what that purpose is as he answers the question that the disciples ask him here about why he teaches in parables. In months to come, we'll look at this parable of the sower or the good seed of the soils again. But I want us to see that as Jesus teaches the disciples this parable, they ask him, why are you teaching in parables? And then he tells them. But in short, his answer is this. He says he teaches in parables to reveal and conceal. He speaks in parables so that some people will understand and understand very well. And he speaks in parables because some people won't. He speaks in parables so some people will get it and some people won't get it. To reveal and to conceal. Look at verse 10, or I'll mention verse 10. After Jesus has given the parable of the four soils, the disciples come to him and say to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? They want to understand why Jesus is doing this. So Jesus starts to answer them in verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. So he says, the parables teach about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Not things that we can't know, but things that most people don't know. And he says, the parables teach about these things. To you, you understand it, but to them, another group of people, he says, I say it so they don't understand. So there's a big distinction between you and them. Many of you women Southerners, in other words, if Jesus was speaking in the South, he would have said, y'all. These parables are given to y'all. Right? For you to understand. You're y'all to understand, but for them, it's for those that don't understand. I'm speaking them for both groups. You and them. Y'all and them. So parables are revealing to believers in Christ, but they are concealing to people who don't believe in Christ. For Jesus goes on to say in verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. What he's saying there is the people that I've given this grace to hear and believe in Christ and understand, he says, I'm going to give them more and more understanding. As they grow and understand one, they're going to understand it more and understand another parable and another parable. They're going to understand the parables more and more. But he says to those that can understand, even what they think they understand, they don't. They're going to never understand until I choose to give them that ability to understand. Then in verses 13 through 15, Jesus speaks about them about those people that don't understand the parables. And then in verses 16 and 17, he returns to talk about the people that have been given understanding concerning the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. In verse 13, he says, "Therefore speak I to them in parables." He's talking to the disciples. The disciples are people that believe in Him, that He's the Messiah, that He's the anointed one of God, He's the Savior. And so, when He speaks to them, He says, "I'm not talking to you, I'm talking about these other people. I speak to them because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." They see Me, and they hear what I'm saying, but they don't really perceive who I am. They don't really see Me as God in flesh. And they don't really hear to the affecting of their heart. They really don't understand. They're there hearing just like y'all are hearing, but they're not getting it. And then Jesus goes on to quote Isaiah chapter 6 in verse 14 and following. He says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, 'By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. By seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them.'" He says there's a group of people. Their ears are plugged. Their eyes are blind. They hear and see like you do when they come and listen to Me. But spiritually, their eyes are closed. Their ears are closed. Therefore, they can't understand in their heart. And because they can't understand, they are not converted. They are not turned around. And they haven't been healed. So Jesus says, these people that can't hear and can't see, they're sick. They're sick. They're dead in sin. So what Jesus is informing us is the disciples have been given ears to hear and eyes to see. That's why they have understood. That's why they have been converted. That's why they've done a 180, why they've changed direction in their lives. That's why they've been healed of God. All these things are intimately connected. So Jesus is making the distinction of it's His work. He saves. He saves alone. And He saves by opening our eyes, our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, that we might understand and believe the gospel. So having spoken concerning those that have not so far heard and understood, seen and understood or perceived, He then speaks to the disciples in verses 16 and 17. He says, "But blessed are your eyes." He's been talking about them, their eyes and their ears. Now He says, "But blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your ears. Now you see and you hear." So God has certainly blessed you that you do. He goes on to say, "For verily," or "for amen I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye have heard and have not heard them." What Jesus says is, you are so blessed. There are many people who hear My preaching. There are many people who never heard Jesus' preaching, right? There are many people today that never hear the gospel preached by a gospel minister. But Jesus is speaking about people that have heard the gospel. And He's saying there's a portion of them that don't understand when they hear it. It goes right away from. They don't see the beauty of Christ, the beauty of His kingdom when they're hearing the preaching of the Word. And then He says to the disciples, "But blessed are you, because you do hear and you do see." And guess what? He says, not only are you blessed beyond those people that can understand, but He says, you're blessed because you're different than many people that have gone before you. Many righteous men and women and prophets of old, Jesus says, that lived before I came would have longed to see Messiah, would have longed to hear the parables I'm preaching. Don't you think Job would have loved to hear Christ's parables? And Moses, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and David? They all longed for that. And they didn't get to see it. And Jesus says, you got to hear this. You got to hear these parables from me directly. There were many of them. There were prophets and righteous people. They wanted it. They wanted to see. They wanted to hear. And they didn't. But you have. And so Jesus is speaking about their blessedness. In verses 34 and 35 of this chapter, after he explains the parable of the sower to the disciples, Matthew says this, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them." This early part of Jesus' ministry, Matthew saying, all Jesus did was teach by parables up to this point, this very time of his ministry, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." What Jesus is saying is that in his parables there was spiritual teaching that Job and Abraham and Moses and David and all the godly men before didn't understand, couldn't see. They knew spiritual things, but Jesus says, I'm going to tell you more. In my ministry in the New Testament, I'm going to tell you more. And he's letting us know that that's part of the blessedness that these people have. Not just that they have ears to hear, eyes to see, but they've got a wonderful Savior to hear and to see. So we've studied why the parables are given, to reveal and to conceal. Let's give an application of it. How's this work? Let's think about the parable of the sower. We'll look at the parable of the sower again. But Jesus says when he teaches a parable, some people understand and some people don't. Let's talk about the person that doesn't understand the parable of the sower. Jesus talks about the parable of the sower. He says a man goes out and throws seed on the ground. He's a farmer. But he obviously has a path that he and his children and family walk on. And that ground's pretty hard. And when he's throwing seed, some of that seed goes on that ground. And it doesn't go down in the dirt. And so the birds come and pick that seed up, right? They use his bird seed. He wasn't planning on feeding the birds, but that's what he does with that seed. But he also has some thorn bushes around. Some of them get close to the thorn bushes. And he has some. He's in the Middle East. His ground's rocky. His rocks that come out, he's constantly removing rocks from his soil. It's like the rocks are just coming up. Every time he tills, there's more rocks for him to get rid of. So some portions of his land are more rocky than others. And he sows some seed there, and then he sows some seed in some very fertile ground. You see, the unbeliever, the person that doesn't believe in Christ, the person whose eyes have not been opened, ears haven't been opened to hear, they don't recognize that they're one of those three soils, one of those three grounds, the hard ground, the thorny ground, or the stony ground. They don't recognize. They just totally miss it. But the believer, the one who God, by His grace, has opened their eyes and their ears so that they understand the parable, they recognize that in their heart of hearts, too often they're just like the wayside ground. They're too much. Oftentimes they're like the stony ground. Oftentimes they're like the thorny ground. Sometimes they listen to a sermon and a day later they can't remember much of what was said, much less did they apply it. That's what the believer. Believer's convicted about that. Even though he may know that he's not really a wayside hearer, that he's a true believer, he still feels guilty. He still recognizes his tendency in his own heart to not receive the Word as he should. He recognizes that too often his thoughts are worldly. And his worldly thoughts take away from him keeping the Word of God that he's heard and living it. The believer also recognizes that sometimes the world's pressures upon him cause him to want to compromise and to behave in ways that he knows or she knows aren't exactly in line with God's Word, but will keep the peace and nobody will persecute them or say something against them for it. So a believer recognizes the tendency in their own heart to be just like those three hearers who really aren't believers. But yet, the believer, the one whose eyes have been opened and ears have been opened, they also recognize that they have a duty to be a good ground hearer. They have a duty to hear the Word and apply the Word, bear fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. And the other thing that the believer recognizes is that he is a good ground hearer. But he recognizes that he's a good ground hearer not because he has such great ears or such great eyesight by himself, but that God, by His grace and mercy, have given him his spiritual eyesight and his spiritual hearing. And so we all must cry out for God, by His grace, to give us spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. For the first time, if we've never believed and never understood the gospel and understood the parables, but if we've come to understand them, then we know that what we have, God will increase by His grace. So let us pray today that for any of us present whose eyes are closed, whose ears are closed to the gospel, that they'd be open so that you might understand the promises, the grace that's offered to us in the gospel and offered to us in the gospel through the parables as we consider them in months to come.